just nervous now. Wait. Not like we haven't done this 15 other times.
Bonjour. Welcome to the Dropkicks. That was Twin Sea with Time Dilation, A Summer Feeling. It's always good to knock it off with Tom. Knock it off. Hit it off. With Twin Sea. Avec Dom.
Bonjour. Je m'appelle Eden.
Ah, je m'appelle. Sorry, Mike.
Sideline.
Right. Big show as we prepare ourselves for the climax of the season, the Super 14 season. We will be going through the review of the two weekends semi-finals, followed by some sports news, some stats. We have some in-depth stats tonight. Dick of the week, athlete of the week, before we sign off for another week. Let's get right into it. First match was the Hurricanes versus the Waratahs. The game was played in Wellington's Cape Town Stadium. It was played in perfect conditions under the control of South Africa's and possibly the world's leading referee, Jonathan Kaplan. An interesting stat that gained much pre-match attention was the fact that in 14 matches controlled by Kaplan that the Waratahs have played in, they had only one on one occasion. Now, this gained a lot of attention, but I think it's a load of bollocks, to be honest, because Kaplan would have only been reffing when Waratahs were playing New Zealand teams, and of course the New Zealand teams would probably beat them most of the time, let's be honest. Whether they were playing Australia or New Zealand doesn't matter. New Zealand teams were just better than them all the time.
The Australian Rugby Union website said, "Outstanding discipline and a curious refereeing decision has seen the Hurricanes secure a victory."
Yes, some other bloody website said they snuck into the finals. So there was a much hype ahead of the semi-final rematch between the two teams after the Hurricanes defended for 40 minutes last week to secure the home semi with a tense 19-14 win in Sydney. The Waratahs have watched their season slowly begin to disintegrate after leading for much of the competition.
Three losses
in a row. In a row, yes, it is true.
They reverted to form.
What are they? They're February finalists?
Yeah. The Hurricanes were slight favourites of the TAB, but ask many New Zealanders, and in particular Wellingtonians, who have been witness to countless historic failures from their sides, you would have received a very non-committal shrug of the shoulders when asking them, do you think the Hurricanes will win?
Oh, I said they would.
I never did, because I support the Chiefs.
Go to hell. Right, the game was played at a furious pace. Here's Hayden Green, who's going to tell us a scoring breakdown.
As Dom didn't actually say. The Hurricanes won that game 16-14, which are very close to last week's score of 19-14 to the Hurricanes. Hurricanes got one try through Lomi Fatau, a conversion through David Holwell, three penalties, one to Pity Weepu, one to David Holwell, and one to Jimmy Gopper. The Waratahs had a try to Peter Hewitt, three penalties to Hewitt, and he missed converting his own try, and that is the margin that they lost by.
Yes, I remember booing loudly for that. I went to the game, actually, and it was absolutely amazing. The atmosphere, as the tension built towards the final minutes, was just frightening. The roar as the Hurricanes defended down the Waratahs line was absolutely deafening. There was 5 minutes of just solid screaming, those last 5 minutes, as people built up to the countdown. The last 10 seconds was just the best feeling. Everyone was literally on the edges of their seats, just going, please God, please God, please God. Everyone's just mass spread. But it was absolutely awesome. The crowd was in pretty good voice the whole way through. I was lucky enough to be sitting next to some drunk guys, one of whom, he would stand whenever these cheerleaders, whenever they came and they'd come and do their little dancing in front of us, and this guy would stand up and he had this big plastic horn and he'd sort of blow it, you know, hoo, hoo, and he'd go, "Hey, you cheerleaders," you know, pointing to them, you know, as if it's anybody's, "get your pants off." And that's what he said. Every few minutes he's just standing there, "get your pants off." People are just, you know, I mean, there was nothing clever about it at all. He didn't change it. He didn't add anything to it. I love going to the footy. Right.
David Holwell was obviously smashed big time David Lyons. David Lyons got the ball in hand, turned to look to see who was in front of him, and it was David Holwell, tiny little David Holwell, and he grinned from ear to ear and just smashed him. It's so funny. He doesn't even slow down as he runs through him. So David Holwell is still on the injury list. We don't know whether he will be playing this weekend.
120 kilo number 8, David Lyons.
Waratahs coach Ewan McKenzie is now filing a complaint against Jonathan Kaplan.
Really?
For the referee. They're claiming that Kaplan failed to act on a touch judge's advice before awarding the Hurricanes a penalty that decided the match. That was Jimmy Gopas, 50.
That's right.
Metre kick. The Daily Telegraph reported yesterday that a New South Wales staff member had revealed he had heard the touch judge Tapa Henning tell Kaplan the Hurricanes were at fault at the scrum by saying, "Yellow bringing it down." but Kaplan penalised Waratahs prop Al Baxter, and the Hurricanes' first 5-8 Jimmy Goppa slaughtered a 50-metre penalty, put the home side ahead.
Okay, Jonathan Kaplan is like a metre.
Yeah, I know, that's what I was thinking. The scrum was the furthest it could possibly be from the sideline, and a touch judge could tell who was doing what, when it's often the referees are criticised for standing there and not knowing what's going on.
It's sour grapes, really, isn't it?
It is sour grapes. Because I don't think Jonathan Kaplan had a bad game at all. In fact, I think if there are any 50-50 decisions, it went 50-50. It was nothing against the Waratahs whatsoever.
I think, a load of rubbish from McKenzie.
And there was the other call in the scrum when the Hurricanes wheeled it. The Waratahs scrum was going to save Australian rugby. The Waratahs, who were going to go unbeaten after week 3 of the Super 14.
That's right.
The Hurricanes wheeled the scrum, and the Waratahs stood up and then put their hands in the air as if to say, the scrum has gone up.
Yeah.
And the referee went, we're going to keep going.
And it was intense, actually. The crowd pressure in that last 5 minutes. The Waratahs had a line-out in their own 5 metres. The crowd just went absolutely ballistic. Pass was the throw and was called not straight.
And it really wasn't straight. I don't know if you've seen the TV replays, but it was not straight at all.
It really seemed like
it was a good couple of metres to one side.
The jumper, he had to reach for it. He almost missed it.
Okay, so the Hurricanes won a fantastic match, 16-14, after a simple 50-metre penalty from substitute Jimmy Goff. I'd just like to mention the balls that Rodney Soiello had to have because I saw him after the game. Good lord,
what the night you had, Joel.
Applause for that guy.
So what's he got now?
I have to say, though, that the final's going to be really boring compared to these last two games that the Waratahs have played the Hurricanes.
They were games of the season, those two. Okay, so the second semi was contested between the season favourite and top qualifying Crusaders and the backdoor experts, the Bulls, having snuck into the semis after a stunning sequence of events culminating in the 43-10 victory away at the Stormers that saw them qualify by one on-field point. The Bulls were not picked to provide much more than a small speed bump on the Crusaders' rightful place in the first Super 14 final.
You didn't have much on at work today, did you?
I thought I'd prepare something. And they duly delivered, going down 35-15 to a rampant Crusaders team. It was fairly even going into the second half. The first 20 minutes was absolutely unbelievable. There was not a stoppage for 10 minutes. Kept kicking and passing, and as they do it a game of rugby, tackling and scoring and not scoring. And, it was just pretty amazing pace of the game. Hayden's got a scoring breakdown.
The Crusaders beat the Bulls 35-15. For the Crusaders, there were tries to Rico Gear. He got two. Chris Jack, Corey Flynn, and Aaron Major. Two conversions to Dan Carter, a penalty to Dan Carter, and a drop goal to Dan Carter. The Bulls got tries to Brian Habana and Spies. Who's Spies?
Pierre Spies.
And conversions to Stain and a penalty to Stain. Oh, sorry, Stain only got one conversion. Sorry. Yeah, interesting that the scoreline was 35-15. When the Crusaders played the Bulls in Pretoria, the scoreline was 35-17 to the Crusaders.
Well, I just think that the top four teams of the competition are the top four teams.
I think the Sharks are much better than the Bulls.
Really?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I think they are too, actually. I think the turning point of the match was that try just after half-time to Chris Jack. I think that's one of the tries of the season, actually. Can't remember how they got the ball. It was just after half-time. They got the ball on about the 10-metre line, and they just made a series of pick-and-goes all the way up the field.
I did see that, actually.
It was 17 phases from...
They put it on TV3 News and they did it. They sped it up because
it took so long.
All the way up.
I think it was 2 minutes from the time they got the ball until they scored. Mm. But it was just continuous pressure until they just broke.
That's really interesting considering when the IRB stats came out last year, they said that after three phases, your chances of scoring diminished through the floor.
Yeah, that's interesting. Also, it was just a simple try as well. There was nothing...
Actually, there was nobody marking them, which was the weird thing.
Yeah, well, I think they were all bunched in trying to stop them doing it again. And then they just thought, we'll fling it wide.
Well, that's what the Crusaders do, eh? They don't, like Dom said the other week, they don't commit many numbers to the breakdown.
No.
I'm totally right there.
Of course you are.
Couldn't agree with me more on that one.
Up to that point, it was pretty close. Yeah, that try just broke the Bulls back, and after that, they weren't the same.
Interesting for the Springboks as well, because Brian Habana has injured his ankle, I believe, and Bucky Bolter is also out with injury.
Oh, by the way, we picked those two results perfectly this week. Absolutely perfectly. We would have scored 16 out of a possible 16.
Oh, we would have.
We would have.
Why would we have?
Well, we would have if we'd entered on the virtual Super 14. If we'd logged on and then gone to the Make Picks page and said, right, what was the picture we had? Well, we picked the Canes by 1-12. If we'd click that button and then go on, what's the next game? Crusaders versus the Bulls? I think we'll pick them 13 plus. If we hit that button too, we would have picked eight. We would have picked up 16 absolutely brilliant points.
Well, what are all these ifs and would-haves and stuff?
Maybe you'd like to tell everyone why there's so many ifs and would-haves in that, Hayden.
It is my job to go and make the picks. It takes maybe 2 minutes out of my day, out of my week even. I got my text message thing saying, you know, this your morning. Points for, yeah. Yeah, this morning for points from the weekend. 0 points. I went, what? We picked that right. We... Ooh, ooh, that's right. We didn't. I had a very busy day on Friday, and, you know, stuff was happening, things were going on, and I didn't make my own list.
No, I saw that.
So if we're on your list, can you just mentally add 16 points to our total and just kind of figure out where we are? I promise I'll make them this week.
Okay, now we move on to some sports news. Hayden, I think you've got something there.
Yep. In rugby, Gloucester pinched a pulsating European Challenge Cup final with an extra time 36-34 victory over London Irish at the Twickenham Stoop on Sunday. James Forrester's 91st minute try took Gloucester back in front as London Irish's Barry Everett missed a late drop goal and penalty. And Irish province Munster has won the Heineken European Cup final, beating French champions Biarritz 23-19 in a dramatic contest at the Millennium Stadium on Saturday. The match was up for grabs heading into the final 10 minutes, with Munster just 1 point ahead at 20-19. But in the 73rd minute, Biarritz prop Census Johnson. Census.
That's good.
Wow, yeah. Nice.
Infringed, and Ireland fly half Ronan O'Gara, who didn't miss a drop kick all match, landed the resulting penalty and ultimately the winning score. Sorry, I misread it.
Oh, okay.
Didn't miss a goal kick.
I read on a website, which does a breakdown of the match, they also have a villain of the match, and they say, how could we sully such a fine game with this vile gong? Yet there are a few contenders. The wearer of the size 12 boot that left an imprint on Paul O'Connell's chest. The man who was attached to the arm that almost decapitated Emmanuel Aeronautigai. Or, what's his name? Aeronautigai. Aeronautigai, yeah.
I don't know the guy.
He's awesome.
I don't know the guy.
Emmanuel Aeronautigai. That's great. the owner of the head that nearly gave Jerry Flannery's missus a heart attack.
Ooh.
And the bearer of the flag that didn't lurch skyward as Sorelli Bombo gave a very passable impression of a man edging across Niagara Falls on a high wire.
Also in rugby and also in championships, Savai Samoa have the inaugural IRB Pacific Rugby Cup champions after coming from behind to beat the Fiji Warriors 10-5 in a tense final in Apia. So congratulations to Gloucester, Munster and Savai, all winning championships. Weekend.
Good.
And finally for rugby news, the first 5 weeks of next year's Super 14s will be without All Blacks, as coach Graham Henry has asked for them to be rested. The franchise bosses were a bit angry about it, but now they've all agreed because they've decided now we'd rather have New Zealand win a World Cup. The other Tri-Nations teams are going to do the same. They're going to pull out a lot of players.
Yeah.
And so it's going to make for a bloody interesting Super 14. I do not know who's going to win.
And I think the best thing is that this NPC will be even better because there'll be so many more places to play for.
Super yeah, 14. I think it will throw up a couple of interesting names, I'm sure, in the first 5 weeks of Super 14 next year.
I, for one, am looking forward to it.
So am I.
In tennis, Martina Hingis has won her first title in over 4 years as she beat Dinara Safina in the final of the Italian Open on Rome on Sunday.
Cool.
The former world number one, who returned to tennis in January after a three-year break, won 6-2, 7-5. Hingis beat Venus Williams in the semis. The pair were playing for the 21st time with 10 wins apiece. Williams having won their last encounter in Warsaw earlier in the month. A repeat looked on the cards when Williams took the first 7 games, but Hingis came back to win 0-6, 6-3, 6-3.
That's some comeback.
Oh, right.
When she came back, which was early last year, she was ranked 10,000th in the world. She's now ranked 14th,
jeez.
Martina Hingis. And she was bloody good when she was playing, man.
Yeah, she was exceptional.
Yeah. Cricket now?
Yeah.
Can you believe this? Can you believe that? I wrote down a little thing about cricket now.
I actually can't believe it. Did someone else, did you do that thing?
No, I didn't.
No.
What's going on? Are you Hayden?
The West Indies clinched a dramatic one-run victory over India in their second one-day international in Kingston.
You betcha.
Set a modest 199 to win, India needed 11 off the final over with the last pair of Yuvraj Singh and Munaf Patel at the wicket. Yuvraj hit two balls in succession to bring victory tantalisingly close, but Yuvraj was bowled next ball, trying to whip Bravo away onto the onside. Five-match series now stands at 1-1.
And really funny thing is that Yuvraj was on 93.
The West Indies did well, though, because India is not a bad team.
And the Indians did hammer them in the first game.
And in football news, Arsenal vice chairman David Dean says the club turned down two £50 million offers for Thierry Henry before he signed a new four-year deal with Arsenal. Henry's decision ended any chance of him replacing the £47 million Zinedine Zidane as the world's most expensive player. We turned down two world record deals from Spanish clubs. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to work out who they were. Apparently it was Barcelona and Real Madrid.
Yeah. Stats. Hayden Green has some stats for us.
Last week I didn't do the stats because I was way too busy and way too sick. But this week I have. I've collated all the results from all the games of the regular season, not including the final of Super 14. And I've done some statistics here. I've got team and individual stats. I'll start with team stats. Team that scored the most points in the Super 12 is...
Crusaders.
Who scored the second most?
Waratahs.
Brumbies.
Sharks.
Ooh.
Crusaders got 506, Sharks 445, followed by the Waratahs 437, equal with the Bulls on 437. The least amount of points was the Cats. Most tries.
Crusaders,
47. Second was?
Sharks.
Sharks.
Bullish.
On 42.
I'm suck at this game.
Yeah. The Bulls were third on 41. The least was? The Cats on 20. Most penalties. This is the most penalties conceded.
All right, so who are the filthy, cheating bastards of the Super 14?
Hurricanes.
Yes. Now I reckon it's a Bok team. I'm going to go with the aptly named cheaters.
The Cats.
Oh, I knew it was a Bok team.
105 penalties conceded, followed by the Brumbies on 86, followed by the Hurricanes and Stormers on 84. The Highlanders and the Waratahs gave up the least on 65. Team that made the most tackles on 12.47.
Fourth.
The Crusades.
It's the Highlanders, followed by the Hurricanes on 12.38 and the Sharks on 11.66. Mm. The least was the Stormers. Team line-out percentage. This is the number thrown divided by the total one. This includes one against the throw. They can have, have over 100, and the top team does have over 100%. I told you both it was the Blues.
Yeah.
104%. They won 196 and threw 189. The Crusaders were next on 103%.
Really?
Oh, wow.
The Chiefs on 101%, and the Hurricans on 100%.
Oh, that's nice.
Four Kiwi teams.
Good. Yeah. Four Kiwi teams. Absolutely amazing lineouts. The fifth one was the Force on 99%.
Really?
Yeah, I know. That's what I thought. Most bonus points.
Brumbies.
Chiefs.
Sharks.
Damn! Just about to shitting say that.
The Waratahs were second on... they got 10, and the Waratahs were second on 9.
See, that's why the Bulls were better.
The Crusaders were averaging twice as many points as their opponents when they played them. So the Crusaders were averaging 32 points per game. People playing the Crusaders were averaging 16 points per game. The largest score in a single game was 53 by the Brumbies over the Cheetahs in week 9, and also the Crusaders over the Cheetahs the very next week.
That's right.
The Brumbies game against the Cheetahs was also the largest combined score of 73. Right, individual statistics. This is players. Most points.
Dan Carter.
Second most points.
Hewitt.
Peter Hewitt. 185 to Dan Carter's 207. Sterling Mortlock at third, 143. The most points per game, if you take it as per game average, is exactly the same. Dan Carter, Peter Hewitt, and then Derek Hogard is third after he got 93 points in 7 games.
Dan Carter he got the record for a super season. Just beat Andrew Mertens, who I think got 206 points.
Mertens did better.
Yeah, well, I mean, there were 2 less games.
And speaking of most tries, who got them?
Lomi
Fartel is one, although 3 News claimed that he was the only one the other day. There's 2 others.
Sterling and Stanford.
They were all on 9. Who made the most line breaks?
Malnonu.
Sterling.
Leon McDonald. 62 line breaks.
It is quite amazing how often he beats the first tackle.
Second was Sidivini Sivavatu, and third was Lottie Takiri, which doesn't surprise me.
Lottie Takiri is bloody good.
He's awesome. Yeah, he's really good. Hate him so much.
I know. I hate him so much.
Player with the most line out takes.
Jason Eden, Bernie Upton.
Ellie Williams.
Daniel Vickerman. Bernie Upton was second.
Oh, good work, Bernie.
And Mark Chisholm. Chisholm shot up in the line out. Penalty fairly awarded, as Chisholm was all over Bernie Upton.
We should leave him.
These bullets just throw Chisholm up in the air. goodness. Turnovers one.
George Smith.
George Smith, 29. Oh. Second was...
Richie
McCaw. Ooh. And then Jason Eaton.
Awesome.
Oh, really?
Yep. Wow. And then Marty Hollett.
That's good.
Oh, yeah. Kick accuracy. Now, this is a percentage of kicks attempted by kicks made. It's a minimum of 10 kicks, I decided.
It wasn't Beric Barnes, was it?
Nope.
Mornstein?
Nope. David Hill, 93%.
Really? Wow.
Second was Issa Nathewa with 82. 23 from 28 kicks.
Wow. Mm.
The worst was Andre Pretorius.
Whoa.
52%, 23 of 44.
Oh, he's also out of the Springboks for
is
now.
He?
He's
in yeah. I have used it.
This is cool because now I get to play.
Yeah. Right, just how many games have been played in this year's Super 14?
Do I get to time to do the calculation?
No.
93
games have been played, including the semi-finals.
Yep.
Okay, how many times has the visiting team won?
35.
37.
34. Visiting team has won 34 times. Visiting teams, if they won, it was by an average of 11 points. Home teams won, it was by an average of 13 points. There were 55 home wins and 4 draws. There were 14 games plus the 4 draws that were decided by 2 points or less. 53 games were decided by 7 points or more. What was the most frequently occurring home score?
23.
17.
26.
Oh, home score, sorry.
What was the most...
oh, whatever.
What was the most frequently occurring away score?
17.
Yeah, I'm going to go 17.
17.
Yes!
That's
see?
Good.
See?
What was the average home score?
20.
24.
25. What was the average score by the away team?
22.
14.
21.
Ah,
f*** with mine. What was the average points, aggregate points scored per match?
46.
46. Okay, and what was the average margin of victory?
4.
Very good, Mike. It was 4. Well done. You get a gold star. And you get a must try harder. Who was the top of the list in the games where a penalty or a drop goal would have won it for them?
Sharks.
Chiefs.
It was the Cheetahs with 4. Where, same thing, but where a try would have won it for them. So that includes everything.
Yeah, I was thinking Sharks as well.
It was the Reds. 5. They were equal with the Chiefs. What's and when a converted try would have won it?
Cheetahs.
The Sharks.
It was the Cheetahs.
Yeah!
Very interesting.
I thought, some cool numbers there.
Right.
Now we come to Dick of the Week. We're going to nominate the Waratahs for Sour Grapes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one. We'll go with them.
I've got one here.
Oh, Mike's got one. Mike's got one.
The World Cup organisers.
What's my goodness? Sorry.
The World Cup organisers who chose...
World Cup of...
Soccer.
Right.
Football. Football. Sorry, soccer's only in the US now. Everywhere else it's called football. The World Cup football organisers who chose a lion as their mascot for this year's World Cup.
For Germany.
For Germany. The manufacturer of the soft toy has had to go out of business because no one's been buying the mascot. And the lion is the national symbol of
England.
English team. And I think it's just stupid that they went with a lion instead of like an eagle, for instance, which is the national symbol of Germany.
But it would be like, you know, the English rugby team or British and Irish Lions coming out here and going, you know, we think we're going to...
Mascot is a Kiwi.
A mascot's a Kiwi, we're all going to dress in black, you know, I think that'll do well.
We'll go down, everyone will buy those.
Yeah. In case you didn't catch it,
Golio.
Golio.
Golio the Lion.
It was designed by Jim Henson's company, would you believe? And consumers are puzzled by the lion's state of undress as well.
What's that?
It's not wearing any pants.
It's not wearing pants.
No. Get your pants off!
It's a lion! I mean, it shouldn't even be wearing a jersey! Yeah. What the hell?
It's doing carrying a soccer ball.
I know.
Football.
We'll put this on.
No, look, it's wearing shoes as well, but it's not wearing pants. So it's wearing... It's wearing a shirt and shoes, but no pants.
And I imagine in like advertising, it'd be talking, but we still wouldn't be wearing any pants.
No.
Mothers would be covering their little children's eyes. Oh, God, look at that.
Yeah, but this is Germany. When I was in Frankfurt Airport, they had a big sign up saying, this way to the adult cinema in the airport.
Awesome. What was it like?
I don't know. I didn't go. But, however, they did have a large selection of pornography at the bookstore.
Oh, good. What was that like?
We're right looking in a package where it stayed. Actually, everyone thought I was German when I was there.
Oh, good.
They kept coming up. I'm here. And I'd be like...
They kept coming up to you.
Well, they did.
Oh, weren't you wearing any pants? Put the pants on. Oh, whoa. Whoa, easy.
Hey, calm down. I just got off an 8-hour flight.
Calm down.
Your national symbol doesn't wear any pants.
Yeah.
Why should I?
Lion.
Well, is that a nomination for Dickaworthy, or is it just sad?
It is just pathetic, really.
It's really quite pathetic. Yeah.
Okay. Well. Maybe the Dick should be Dicks should be the Waratahs.
Yeah, the Waratahs. Yeah. I'm thinking.
Yeah.
But that's a nice story.
Yeah, it's a nice pathetic story. Really,
really, really sad.
It's good to know that the Germans aren't getting everything.
What are those little circle things then?
Circle things.
You know, but when you see the World Cup, they've got Germany World Cup 06, and the 0 and the 6 are little smiley faces, and there's two other little smiley faces as well. Japan had a whole bunch of really weird little, like a little soccer team, and they were like good guys, and there was bad guys, and each had little superpowers. It was a game on the internet. I played it for ages. Very good.
Okay, so Dick of the Week, Waratahs. Waratahs management, and just, sour grapes from the Waratahs, boo and hiss. Athlete of the Week.
Hayden got a nomination.
What about you, coming back off your suspension from last week?
Oh, yeah, you managed to wangle yourself out of it.
Did you?
Well, did you wangle? I had to go into the other room. But, you know, once I took the sample, it was fine. Not officially cleared. Well, I don't know where I am at the moment. That's good. I admit my recovery is incredible.
Mm.
Barry Bonds, Hayden didn't want me to mention this at all.
He's a damn cheat. He's a cheat. He's on steroids.
But he got 714 home runs.
On steroids. Babe Ruth had like a heart condition because he was so damn fat. And he got that many runs, obviously, because it's a record. Barry Bonds tied. Barry Bonds just took a boatload of pills.
That's not proven yet. Look at his fat guts, man.
And look at his thick neck.
Yeah, you can get that from eating food.
Yeah, you could. You could, I
yes,
suppose.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, he's so full of steroids. He is so full of steroids.
So, well, Hayden would love to see him nominated the Dick of the Week. I'm going to slap him in there at Athlete of the Week nomination anyway. Mike, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Ping pong granny.
Please.
Not again, Mike.
Oh, come on. Ping pong granny.
Is this your trip to Thailand?
Mike, you said you were never going to mention that again. The police made you promise.
Yeah, well.
Oh, they can't see
I lied,
it.
Yeah.
Did you get my joke? Last trip to Thailand?
Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you wanted me to do the...
Oh, yeah, sure. Oh.
Hooray!
Don't catch it.
And now for you in the corner. Now do it once.
When did she become Spanish?
She's on holiday, man. And how do you do a Thai accent, anyway?
Mike?
Hayde?
What?
Ping pong granny.
Ping pong granny.
Oh, the Thai accent, Hayde.
Sorry, go, Mike.
A British granny is a hit in Germany after she turned up to compete in an international table tennis championship at the age of 95.
Oh, that's brilliant. Awesome.
Dorothy DeLow, she's from Australia, is the oldest...
Hang on, I thought you said she was British.
Oh, I did. No, she's Australian. An Australian
she's
granny.
She's a British granny?
Yeah, no, she's Australian. It was on TV.
Oh, okay. And she's in an Australian uniform.
That's amazing. Yeah. No, I've never heard that before.
It is too.
Wow. Huh. Dorothy DeLow is the oldest competitor at the World Veteran Table Tennis Championships in Bremen, Northern Germany.
I love it as she just turned up.
Hello.
Oh, come on in.
Thank you. Well, you're in a uniform.
Yeah.
In you come.
Yeah. She has managed to lose every game.
Well, fair enough.
She even lost to a 94-year-old Japanese competitor.
Well, she can't be Athlete of the Week then.
No, I haven't. She's not a loser like her.
Yeah.
She just shows up.
Turns up and loses everything.
I could have showed up.
Yeah, I could have lost everything.
No, she did bring her own coach, past Australian table tennis champ, Paul Pinkowicz.
See, no. 120 or something?
What? His name is not Paul Pinkowicz.
Yes, it is. It's right here. I'm reading this off the internet, and the internet is never wrong.
Keep going.
Although the internet does call her a British woman, not an Australian one.
Well, actually, she was British-born, and she moved to Australia, and now lives in Sydney.
Those cheeky bastard Aussies targeting the soft medals.
Yeah.
The hell? We're going to win the geriatric Olympic or whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, she didn't. She lost it.
Ha-ha, in your face, Australian Institute of Old Sport.
Yeah, and that's all I have to say, really.
Oh.
Because that's all that's here.
Mm, not athlete of the week, no.
Not athlete of the week, no. Then again, the options are you.
Me.
Cheating Barry Bond. Or a granny who doesn't win from Australia. Is she actually a grandmother, or is they just...
What about the coach? What about the coach for having the cojones to bring along a 94-year-old loser? Five-year-old loser.
He can't be that good a coach. She lost. But sure, the coach, Paul Pinkovic.
For the name alone, Pinkovic. What an athlete.
Paul Pinkovic, athlete of the week.
Hey, congratulations, Paul Pinkovic. Now, the very shortest preview section of the entire season, we have one game. And that's to preview as the final between the mighty Hurricanes from the lower North Island against the Crusaders from that other island, the top bit of it. Well, kind of the middle.
The middle section of the lower island.
Lower island, yeah.
Middle island.
Middle island.
So the Crusaders. It's a little too far out to make a really honest and good call, I think, on this Monday night.
Oh, what?!
No, but hang on, bear with me. Just there are some injury concerns in both camps. There may be more further on the week. Andrew Ellis, a halfback for the Crusaders, has injured his ankle. However, I don't think they lose anything. In fact, I think they gain something by bringing back Senio.
I don't think so. Sorry.
Go to hell. And the Hurricanes have got... Sorry? Oh, I mean, I didn't mean that.
Fine.
Dick. Anyway, so the Hurricanes are nursing Isaiah Toyava, the fullback, who has a shoulder injury.
They're nursing him.
The team. They're all just bringing him cups of...
And little white pennies.
Chicken soup and little pennies and stuff. 5'8", David Howell is still recovering from that hammering he took from David Lyons. And the lock, Jason Eaton, who is... while he was cleared to play in the game, I don't think his ankle injury is completely healed.
He played,
but they're probably still keeping an eye on him. Referee is probably going to be Jonathan Kaplan.
He's confirmed.
That's confirmed, excellent. The weather's probably going to be cold but clear. If it rains back the Crusaders, Dan Carter is the Michael Schumacher of wet weather rugby. I think after the first Lions test, where they won in the miserable Jade Stadium.
Nice analogy.
Thanks. The battle on loose will be titanic. Watch for the Crusaders to go with the gas again and play Johnny Leo at open side. I think they have the Hurricanes are very fast all over the paddock, and that needs to be counted. I think the scrums, I would say, are about even. The line-outs are the key, and that gives the edge to the Crusaders.
You know, the Hurricanes might have a bit of an edge in the scrum. Might.
I don't believe there'll be a lot of line breaks in this match. I think the defences are pretty impressive. It won't be a high-scoring match.
No, it'll be much the same as the last game. 20 points to 11.
I can't pick a winner. The odds will favour the Crusaders based on history, but the Hurricanes appear to be a team that resembles nothing of their history. Having said that, it's possible that the Hurricanes have already played their final. There was a lot.
Absolutely. They could have left it all on the field.
Yep.
And then they come into this game with nothing left in the tank.
Definitely had the hardest semi-final.
But who knows?
Heart says Hurricanes. Head says Crusaders.
Head says Crusaders.
Yep.
1-12, though.
Oh, yeah. It's not going
to
be...
It's going to be, awesome because Canterbury have to play for the first... For the whole game. If they don't, the Hurricanes are almost as good at them as counter-attacking.
The Hurricanes have to stop kicking the ball away because the Crusaders will capitalise on that better than any other team in this competition. So no more Ma'anonu breaking the line, making a couple of metres and then kicking it, which the paper said he was brilliant.
I know, and I was in great forms.
I'd normally yell at the TV, I was yelling at the newspaper.
Hold on to the damn ball! Okay, that's the drop kicks for another week. Well,
No. We've got an email from Livs in England. LIVS.
Thanks, Livs.
Like she's, Olivia.
Lives in England.
And Olivia lives in England. She didn't say whether she's actually from England, but she says she lives there. She was...
You just confused me.
I've confused everybody. But we got her thinking the other week as to why the Calcutta Cup is called the Calcutta Cup. You remember we were talking about it a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
So she found out that the Calcutta Rugby Club was set up and only lasted 2 years before it had to close again due to a lack of players. Mm-hmm. So all the rupees left in the club's treasury were melted down to make the Calcutta Cup, hence its bumpy appearance.
That's awesome.
Mm. We should try and find a photo of it so we can put it on the blog.
Yeah. Or perhaps we can just get Olivia to do our work for us again.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be really, really good.
Yeah.
Because we're really, really lazy.
Or in prison. Or
shut up, man!
Oh, sorry, what? We're in prison.
Possibly. Thank you, Olivia. Lovely to hear from you.
Oh, to do so again. What does it say?
Oh, where?
Nothing. Right.
Good. If you... We do love to hear from it.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Our listeners out there.
Highlights of our week.
Yeah. And if you want to give us a... Drop us a line at dropkicks.podcast@gmail.com. Oh, and I don't know if we said this before, but we're on iTunes. We're on the iTunes Music Store.
Yeah. Spread the word.
We're on there. I think you have to search for us. I'm not quite sure what section we're under. We had to get a friend to put us on because down here we don't have an iTunes store in New Zealand yet. But we're on it. Go there. Put some comments up.
Yeah.
Be nice.
Yeah, rate us.
Rate us highly.
And also some... suggestions on where we're going to go in the future. We've got many, many months before the Super 14. Of course, there's lots of rugby tournaments, and we'll be
back
covering them all.
International.
Well, we're the international series, and of course, the New Zealand Cup. I think is going to be a better competition than the Super 14,
and the Pacific Nations one as well, which will be good.
Oh yeah, plenty of internationals.
Yes, and of course we will be. Well, I don't know if you guys want to, but I want to cover the Football World Cup as well.
Yeah, we'll do something around that.
Good. Excellent. Right, have a good week, everybody. Look after yourselves and each other. Twin Set will be playing Tuesdays at Cabaret, Wednesdays at the Bolton Hotel, and Fridays at Concrete. Get along, maybe even request a bit of time dilation. And that's summer.
Yeah, see it live.
Hey, yeah, we should.
We should.
I mean, they should.
They should come here and come to Wellington.
Buy us a drink. Oh, though not this weekend.
No, this weekend's not,
this weekend's not good for us. This weekend is a bad weekend.
No, sorry, this weekend.
Yeah.
But next weekend, bring on.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'd love to see you.